Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello everyone, welcome to the latest edition of the Royal Blue Podcast, and it's breaking news of course today. Everton deducted a further 2 points from the latest PSR hearing. I'm your host Chris Beasy. I'm glad to say I've been joined by Gavin Buckland, who's very much going to be appreciated here. His eye for the numbers, and Gavin, I'm glad you were able to join us. We may even discuss the Burnley game at some point as well before we finish. But yeah, we start obviously with the breaking news at 2 p.m. this afternoon that Everton will be deducted a further 2 points. Just look at the summary here. You've been scrolling through. Yeah. You've got your phone in front of you. I've got my laptop here. It says, in line with what was said to Everton, financial year 22 appeal, any breach under PSR is significant and justifies, indeed requires a deduction of 3 points. Further 2 points to be added to reflect the quantum of Everton's breach, being circa 16.6 million or 15.8% above the upper loss threshold, starting point before any consideration of aggravation and or mitigation is therefore 5 points. Premier League makes no allegation of aggravation, and it talks about Everton's mitigation on there. And it says in total, therefore, the commission imposes a sanction of 2 points. So much to digest in there, as with the other commissions. You know, it's a lengthy document there. Well, over 100 points, and include that. But what's your initial thoughts of then? What you take from what you've read so far?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we can only, you know, when we came out as a time of recording less than 2 hours ago. So obviously, it's about 200 more paragraphs, as I can remember. It's a lengthy document, and there's a lot of technical stuff in there which we won't go into. The initial thought is, when you first see it, it's 2 points, I'll take that. And speaking as a, you know, as a supporter, on the basis that you know, our previous one was six.
Yeah.
Forrest has got six before they got two for, you know, good behaviour, as it were. So you're thinking two. I'll take that at this stage of the season. I think we're contractually obliged here to say is, two commissions in the same season is fundamentally wrong.
I think that's what we can agree on.
We were saying, happy with two. I'm not happy with two this season when we already had six.
Yeah.
So we've got 8 points, Chris. For you know, if you think about it, that, you know, Evan last 2 years got, say, 40 points on it. You know, that's also 20% of our points total, isn't it, over the season. So that's a hell of a lot. So I think we should turn around at this point to say that twice in the same season is, I think, morally wrong. They've got themselves into a right pickle over this. So that's the first thing. So, but if you go with the two, is yes, I think I'd live with that based on the previous sanctions.
Yeah.
Also, the fact it's our second time in front of the beak. Not, you know, so it's the second time you breach, well, it's the third time you breach in 21, we're effectively let off. So 2 points in that context is okay, I would say. You would have felt four would have been harsh, wouldn't you? The only thing is, though, that's not it, though, is it? It's paragraph 20 in the report, which is our old friend Stadium Interest, which you've spoken about on the
podcast.
Just when we thought we put Stadium Interest to bed, it's now reared its ugly head. And now there's obviously a discussion within the documents that Everton, first admitting the breach of £23 million. Then, as we spoke about on the pod a couple of weeks ago, when the accounts came out, they then restated the previous year's accounts by £7 million, and then we said we breached by £16 million. Mm-hmm. The Premier League, they disputed this. They said that we have within that £16 million breach comes after we deducted. I can't remember how much it is. £16 million, I think, for 16 to 20 million for interest payments on the stadium, which they're disputing. The commission, in their wisdom, says, and I think to push things on a little bit, it says they're going to treat that as a separate issue, mm-hmm. the dispute over the interest, which is still be some decent numbers there, possibly, at a later date.
Yeah.
And the problem you've got there is they don't say when.
No.
They say the standard directions don't apply, so it doesn't necessarily mean it's this season, but they don't say it's the next season.
Well, I've got it in front of me. Yeah. I'll just read that line out, so we've got it verbatim. Accordingly, a further hearing will follow. It therefore remains to be determined whether Everton has exceeded the upper loss threshold by any further amounts regarding to the interest capitalised in FY21, FY22 and FY23.
Yes.
We accept that this defers the resolution of part of this dispute.
Yes. So the problem with that is when does that get heard?
Yeah.
And in many respects, that's the important part of this. We thought 2 points is going to be, that's it. This is not the important part of the commission, isn't it? Because the thing is, at the end, and the key thing, these matters are second mission. They wanted everything done in the same season, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they make great, as the previous, the Forest appeal says, it says, doesn't it, we will, the 2 point penalty is to be implemented straight away, because it should be, the punishment should be in the same season, and there should be a degree of, everything should be cleared up, which is fine if you read that in isolation. But then at the start of the thing, they said, oh, by the way, there's another issue here that we can't decide, which may be decided next season.
Yeah.
And those two statements, paragraph 20, what it says in paragraph 20, what it says in the concluding piece, they're contradictory.
Yeah.
And so it could be that hearing will now be next season. Because if you think about it, you'd have to have a hearing over the stadium interest and a finding over it. Then that would have to go to appeal.
Yeah. Like, both Everton's cases now and Forest, everyone's had this has gone to appeal.
Yeah. And I think Everton will appeal by the looks of it, isn't it?
They've got seven days.
So it may be that we may get hit 2 points this season, whatever. It may go to appeal, whatever happens then. But this hanging over the whole judgment, which could, in theory, produce another points deduction, but not necessarily this season. That could be next season. Yeah.
It goes
Which begs the question then, why did we just put the whole thing to next season? I know they said it would be unfair on Forest. Forest didn't have their commission. Yeah. They may have just parked this whole thing till next year if it was that complicated.
Yeah.
But again, if you've not read the whole stuff in detail, it's impossible to isn't take in. But you read it and you think, oh yeah, this is okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
You read the concluding bit, and then you start reading the report in detail, and you get down to section 20, and go, this is just this is, I know kicking the can down the road is a bit of an overused cliche, but it is here, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you say there, Gav, I mean, James Segan, who was representing, he was representing Everton, so he started off saying all roads lead to no further sanction, but then it says further down in there, Everton invited the commission to defer any sanction until next season.
Yeah.
They obviously haven't done it.
That's never going to happen. But you can see the logic is that this is one, it's one breach, isn't it? You can't split the breaches up. You need the whole thing this season, or the whole thing in theory next season. You can't split the two. But we don't know. They may have the incest question question mark, which would be the question mark of an interest here this season, because it's a pretty safe old case, isn't it? Although, you know, it's only one thing, isn't it? So it may happen this year. I'm not sure. There are other people who perhaps, you know, were close to it, have said that'll be next year. But next season, you don't know at this stage. But that's very unsatisfactory, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you're expecting today to know where you stand.
Yeah.
And guess what? We still don't know where we stand. And more importantly, just as importantly, the clubs around us still don't know where they stand.
No, it's not, like I said, this is not just a case. Well, this is not just an issue for Everton, is it? But it always has been, hasn't it, for all the other clubs involved. And certainly what we do have now, Everton have said in their initial statement that they are going to appeal. So that just takes it beyond the end of the season anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah. And Forrest are, you know, at the same time, I don't know whether, you know, it's got that backstop date. I mean, you might hear the Forrest one before the end of the season, you don't know. Yeah. So it's off. It's muddy. You never thought, you're not surprised, but this commission's just muddied the waters even further, hasn't it, really? Yeah. And as much as these rules were obviously never set up for people to breach and stuff, really, never really understood, and that would ever happen. And I have some sympathy with the Premier League, and not like clubs have always had the chance to change and what haven't. But the whole thing, this is just, you know, it's just become.
Yeah.
It's just become. What's my thing? Is it, what's a drama? What comedy is drama plus time, you know? And this is what's happened, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Well, just reading the club's statement that they put out straight away, they say that Everton remains committed to working collaboratively with the league on all matters relating to PSR, but is extremely concerned by the inconsistency of the different commissions in respect to the points deductions applied. And there we go, we've had three different ones. I mean, four if you include, obviously, the Everton appeal from the first one, and then obviously Forest, and none of them. There seems to be any sort of joined up thinking between them.
I think there was a bit. I actually think there was a bit of joined up thinking between the Forest second, the Forest one, and the Everton second one.
Right.
You can see a thread. You can also see a thread here in the judgment that it refers to the Forest judgment. So, where they got to for the two was they looked at there's a general thing now, isn't it? And acknowledged in the Forest one that if you breach, you got 3 points straight away. I think that's the thread, isn't it? And that was, that runs through the Everton, the Everton appeal, the Forest, and this one. So they're saying that if you get three, that 3 points for breaching, and then there's a sliding scale, but that's where you get a little bit, where the differences arise. What's the sliding scale then? You know, the extent of the breach, how many points that you've got.
Yeah.
And they sort of, this one, when with the Premier League sort of guidance, I think the Premier League wanted 5 points.
Yeah.
And so they sort of agreed with that and sort of got it to match the thinking around the Forest appeal. And so they started with 5 points. And then we, as in previous appeals and commissions, we applied for litigation, which was, off the top of my head, was the USM.
Yeah.
The double jeopardy, which is being spoken about,
yes,
in quite a bit, which is the main thing about this, isn't it?
Yeah, because
there's also like our early play cooperating with the Premier League, and also something around our transfer, you know, our financial circumstances, and one of them was, you know, we've been told to get rid of the players, but actually that can be quite difficult to.
We'll come on to that.
Yeah, because that's really interesting. And this is like, we went cover player X and X and player Y last time, and I've got player B and player C, haven't we? You know, we applied for their mitigation. Yeah. So they started off with 5 points, and they allowed us the double jeopardy, and which I was quite surprised about. And the logic in the double jeopardy was our overall loss was 116 million. Just over half of that was in the first 2 years, which has already been dealt with. So we're going to take off effectively 2 points for the double jeopardy.
Yeah.
So off the 5 points, we're going to take off two double jeopardy. We're going to turn it on, not believe this was over an hour. So that's where that comes from, two for double jeopardy. And then they accepted the the USM Finch Farm. Mm-hmm. But they said, and this is, I think this is right, you know, it's factually correct, is though we lost 20 million, we don't appear to, we give you mitigation, but yeah. We're not going to give you as much mitigation as perhaps we would have done, because you then spent money. You know, we went around and spent money in 22 on the transfers and stuff like that. We carried on spending. So that diluted the mitigation. Yeah. So for that, and also our early play, they give us a point for those two factors. So that takes the 5-2. Yeah. That's where we stand now.
Yeah. The Finch Farm agreement, sorry, I've just got it there.
Which now runs out on June 24, I think it says, June this year. And they ignored our transfer, you know, a new transfer strategy. There was some bits in there about the stadium and other bits just around the club's financial position. They rejected all that. Interestingly, Chris, I found fascinating is the Premier League did not apply for any mitigation, you know, any aggravating factors, which they had done previously. Remember, like the first, which they didn't apply anything. So they were very kind of Forest as well. Yeah. So that indicates that they wanted this done as quickly as possible. Yeah. Although they obviously thought that the incest stuff, you know, would also be carried out by the commission. So I would have thought one of their aggravating factors is Evan, you know, that the fact that they warned Evan so many times, we've already been breached once already, and they've now breached again, and, you know, that we warned them and all the stuff that came out. Also, the last appeal, and they've just set that aside, which I thought was strange to our benefit. And so it was just left for them to judge on Evan's mitigating factors, and they allowed three of them, really. I'll be two of them, very, very small amounts. So that was incest. And so well done for arguing our case, I think, in that, the club solicitors. And that's when we've gone from 5-2. If it was off their mitigating factors, could have been 5.
Yeah, of course.
By the looks of it, and 5 points would have taken us without taking us into the top.
It would have done, yeah. So, is almost, you know, as big as what the first one ended up being, because obviously after the game four back. Yeah. So,
ultimately we've had 8 points. So I think two's a result, and I think the mitigating factors we argued, obviously, quite a bit. Far better than the last appeal where we got one.
Yeah.
You know, so the double jeopardy they were surprised about, to be honest with you. But at least it's been acknowledged by the commission. But after all that, it's still not resolved, is it?
Yeah.
On face value here.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to see how that pans out. But what we do now, you know, whatever we got from Calvert-Lewin to go along Saturday, we've now lost, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, interesting, like you say about that. Obviously, the general consensus still digesting it, but it seems to be a feeling that amongst the fan base, from what I've read so far, is that given all that you've said there, 2 points, you know, could have been worse. But again, the club are appealing, saying, well, Nottingham Forest, we had a Nottingham Forest fan on, spoke to us, very knowledgeable former colleague of myself, Tom Evans, and he admitted that, you know, when Forest got four, he thought he was going to be the sixth that Everton get, but they've appealed. Everton are appealing this one. So rather than just take the medicine, as it were, the club are on the front foot again.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think the Premier League wanted 5, didn't he? Yeah. I think the club argued that because of double jeopardy, because of the double jeopardy team, that they shouldn't have got anything, I think.
This was where they started.
So, you know, to get two, I think it's a result other people think otherwise. I think to get two after one of five because of the mitigating factors, a hell of a result. Some will argue that should be nought straight away. That's people have argued that, haven't we? Because of double jeopardy, because of all the bits, you know, about the Ukraine stuff, and that it should be zero, which I fully get. And, you know, but we are where we are with two. It makes some interesting fixtures. The Luton game, 3rd of May. We've got Forest at home. Will be incessant games. So it could have been worse, but I could understand, obviously, for you and support the club's right of appeal, and that other supporters think that was a lot, you know.
Yeah. Well, very much obviously that the numbers is the crucial factor in this, given that it's a PSR breach. But for people maybe who aren't as into the numbers as yourself, Gav. Well, some interesting reading, of course, will be seeing director of football Kevin Fellwell appearing as a witness.
Star witness, and James Baraniak as well, And Kevin, obviously, we've only speeds out the report. He spoke about our trying to turn the shift around, didn't he? I think
a big old shift to turn around.
And I think there's a general acknowledgement there. I think James Baraniak, he was the club's temporary or deputy finance director.
He stepped up into the interim role now.
You know, I think there was an acknowledgement there that our previous strategy of buying expensive players that will take us up the league and then we will get the money back on those players to improve league position and then sponsorship and all that type of stuff. You know, the far had spend of 2017-18 or the club spend was, I think the word was used in the commission was a mistake. And then they've tried to redress with this new transfer strategy.
Yeah, from initial strategy players, to new recruitment strategy.
Which is younger players and stuff. And you know, you can see what the club said. And also as well, I think, you know, it's all very well for the Premier League and stuff to say, well, you should have sold them players, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes it's just difficult.
Yeah.
You know, it's just difficult to sell players, isn't it? Especially in, well, as we've seen in the last 12 months, there's other clubs in PSL difficulties or potential difficulties. They're not going to buy players. So that if that deflates the market, then, you know, it makes it difficult to sell players. And they talk about player B and C, I think, are the ones mentioned.
I think it's pretty obvious who player C is.
I'm not sure where player A's gone. There was player A mentioned in it.
I didn't see that one. I don't know what player A was.
And I've got sympathy for the club's view. At the same time, I also, the view which we tried to defend was the 2022 spend. I think we said we had to buy them players. And, you know, I can see why I said, well, he shouldn't have. It was obviously looks like as well that the Gordon sale in January 23 was something that they were forced into, wasn't it? I think they thought they were going to sell him in the summer.
Yeah.
I think was one of the. Though that's not explicitly mentioned.
No, player C, come on, Gav.
It would appear to be anyway.
I don't know who else they're going to.
And also, there's some parts of the report that are redacted, aren't they?
Yeah, for the first time. I didn't see any of that.
When they get into sponsorship, I think on the Finch Farms front, there's bits that are redacted, which is very interesting.
Mm.
But yeah, it's 2 points. I can live with that. But I can see why other people have I also get that general thing that there doesn't appear to be consistency. Forest, 34 million, get four.
Yeah.
We've had combined losses of two boards. We get of 36 million, we've got eight.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that. But the counter to that, of course, ours is two commissions.
Yeah.
And if you get 3 points for preaching, you've got 6 points straight away.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about that argument comparing us with Forest's. You know, there are two match-ups to Forest, but you just because I was crossed two commissions. I mean, being given mitigation for that, haven't we, for the double jeopardy.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Well, we said we'd do half an hour. Notice we're up to 20 minutes. Have we got enough football to talk about in 10 minutes for that Burnley game, do you reckon?
Because it's context, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all context, isn't it, really, to the Burnley game. It shows you what an important that was.
Of course. I think it was going to be whatever Everton got.
Because imagine we just got a point.
Yeah.
We now would have gone in some today, at the end of the day, being worse off than what we were after the Newcastle game.
Yeah.
Bad point.
So that's a huge psychological thing for the players. But I think we turn to the football now anyway. We got in trouble in this. I know you weren't with us on Friday, but we were doing the live pod pre-Burnley, and some of the listeners, viewers, were saying we shouldn't have been calling it a must win. I mean, was it always a must win in your eyes?
I think if you win the game, it's always a must. It's always a must win isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know if that wasn't a must win.
I think it happened because I think, and this is like sort of being brought into focus today with this judgment, isn't it? Everybody said, oh, there's three or four games between now and the end of the season that are sort of must wins. We need three wins or whatever. And this was definitely one of them, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was the club's official statistician. You know, they've broken the club record for Premier League matches without a win, in danger of equaling some records at 1937, the all time.
14 games without a league win. So, 37,
At some point, you've got to save yourself. You can't rely on all the jiggery pokery of your various super silks.
And with winning.
Of course.
And Brentford, it became, well, of course, being a must win then, didn't it? Really? Though at one stage in the afternoon, it looked very healthy, didn't it? With Brentford getting 2-0.
Well, it was a bit better, wasn't it? Yeah.
When they put the scores on the...
Should have done it then.
But, I accept the thing, but, you know, you're just thinking, then, oh, there's something going to go wrong here. And I thought, aside from that, it was a terrible game, Chris, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the worst games I've seen at Goodison, to be honest with you.
I mean, you've got to suppose to say fair play to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, because we were going into half-time there and, you know, thinking, what have we just seen here? You know, 45 minutes of awfulness. And to be fair, Calvert-Lewin, he'd seen the keeper do it once before, maybe take an extra touch. I mean, you say he got lucky, but, you know, you make your own luck in those circumstances. He closed it down and, you know, got that crucial touch.
Yeah, do you think it's luck?
I don't think it's luck.
I think it's a perfectly... good bit of centre forward.
It was clever.
I mean, I don't know why the goalkeeper didn't see him or didn't hit it, not see him, but that could have been part of his. But why it wasn't lucky is that the goalkeeper didn't see him to the last minute. Because he came in from the side a little bit, didn't he? And the second time he's done that at the park, and he did it to De Gea, didn't he, in 2000?
Oh, yeah.
20 before the last game before lockdown. Yeah, so I don't think it was luck at all. I thought it was a good forward play. And. It shows you what happened when you look strange, and you know what? 3 weeks ago, if he'd have done that, I might have like swung up and hit the bar. Or when you scored, and sometimes a goal for you, you deserve the reward for good, clever, centre forward playing hard work, doesn't it? You know, that goal.
That's what you say, but it's not luck, because it was all about the way he was playing and going about it. But like you say, if he was still on that run where he hadn't scored, maybe he wouldn't have come up for it. It's funny how that happens, isn't it? But, you know, now he's got his eye in. That's got to be a positive, because, you know, we've talked to a lot on this pod about Calvert-Lewin being streaky in purple patches.
Yeah, we talked about last time on Friday, didn't we? Last week after he scored against Newcastle, wasn't it?
At least they won't be saying now, well, it's so many games since he scored from open play.
I thought it was a good bit of centre forward play, and he got his rewards and exactly the right time as well, wasn't it? Just before half time. I mean, there's some goals, they always say it's important to score before half time, but I thought that on Saturday, because of the nature of the game and the fact that Burnley would have thought gone in goal, we've weathered whatever storm it was, which was not really for the first 20 minutes, got ourselves into the game. Looking the better team, to be honest with you. I had more of the play, and they were quite happy here.
Yeah,
and certain push on in the second half, and maybe get something. That goal sort of changed the dynamic, didn't it? Because the second half, I think we had a little bit more control there as a consequence.
It was interesting, wasn't it? Because despite all the frustration, in Deitch said, oh, well, they only had the one sort of shot on target, and he's sort of a header straight at Jordan Pickford, but he wasn't comfortable. We weren't sort of.
I thought some of our defending, though, they weren't conceding clear chance in the first half. It was a bit panicky, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they got in and out of our box.
Keystone Cops at times.
Yeah, right?
Maybe it was the wind, the way it was bouncing.
Yeah, I don't think that helped, did it? I mean, the player I'm a little bit concerned about at the moment, like everybody else, is probably Tarkowski, who I think is doing a book, didn't he, as well. Give away a few super fouls. I thought he looked a little bit more of a liability than what you would expect on Saturday. But that was more than assessed by Brandwaite's
relatively
good performance. Notwithstanding, I thought you expected playing Burnley. He was head and shoulders. He was like playing a different game to everybody else on the pitch, I think, Brandwaite, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, they sometimes say, you know, you've lost control if you don't stay on your feet and you make a slide tackle. But he was making that into an art form, some of those crucial interceptions he was making.
Yeah.
And Vincent Kompany actually pointed that out himself.
I just thought Brandwaite was easily our best player. I wouldn't say he's a one-man defence at the moment. I don't think that's a bit disrespectful to the players, but he's becoming... He's a bit like, well, you probably remember it, when Dave Watson in the early mid-90s, I think.
Yeah.
Once Ratcliffe left and we had like various players coming to centre-half and stuff and people filling it, he became like the sort of defence, didn't he?
Well, I'm a bit younger than you, Gab, but what I remember from that era is that Dave Watson very, very rarely made a mistake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brandwaite is becoming like a sort of, I won't say one man in defence, but he's heading, you know, and fair play to McLenko as well, by the way, within that. He's becoming like literally head and shoulders above all the other players, and that's been brought into focus a little bit more by Tarkowski's sort of drop off in standards, I think, over the last month.
And in like you say, in terms of with Mikulenko alongside him as well, I mean, who's probably been the most improved player from last season. Obviously, Bramford's come back from the loan at PSV, and it's a breakthrough season for him. There's a combination there. I mean, I don't know what Ukrainian for steady Eddie is, but Mikulenko, and he's just got a level of performance that he just didn't have before this season. And there were times when, you know, he was maybe out. He was up against, you know, tricky players, but he stuck to it, didn't he?
Yeah, and he has done. Yeah, we had a crucial clearance off the line, didn't he, at Newcastle? I'm saying a bit disrespectful saying bad play to one man defence, because I think Mikulenko has been very, very consistent, very solid. And when you put names down on the team sheet now, knew your first two picks, probably Pickford, Brand right for your first two. Who do you think the third pick? Well, Tarkowski's probably third in the other there.
Well, I say so.
Mikulenko would be one of the
well, yeah,
third.
Well, yeah,
third,
well, he is given us no left back.
He deserves it.
He's there on merit.
If you had a decent left back substitute,
yeah.
You know, he's there on merit, isn't he?
What I thought was interesting, I'd done a piece earlier today. A lot of people would say that, you know, despite the fact there's young Nathan Patterson, earlier in the season, Dyche seemed to favour Ashley Young at right back. But a lot of people would say that would actually be Everton's first choice back four, the back four that was fielded against Burnley with Seamus back in there. And it's only the third time this season in the Premier League that they've actually all started a game together. Clean sheet every time. Also a clean sheet when they played at Crystal Palace in the FA Cup. So the fact that, you know, that this lesser used combination would probably be first choice in a lot of people's eyes. It's kept a clean sheet every time they've been together, that back four, every time they've started.
Yeah, I mean, also with all due respect, Crystal Palace and Burnley are not the most offensive teams, but yeah.
Well, Aston Villa and Newcastle were the other two.
That's very good, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, we played well against Newcastle, too.
Yeah.
And that speaks volumes, and hopefully that's something to work with. To be honest with you, for the rest of the season, even keep Seamus fit, you know, within that, and also, you know, Mikulenko keeps his consistency. It was Bradley, he sort of tailed off a little bit, but Tarkowski needs to improve.
Yeah, there's big changes in centre mid. Obviously, Amadou Onana wasn't fit, and then Idrissa Gueye was missing. His wife had actually given birth to a child the night before, so that's why he was out. So James Garner came back in, and Andre Gomez, an interesting that now here's a stat for you. Check this one out. It was his first 90 minutes completed for Everton in over 2 years since the Crystal Palace debacle, the 4-0 in the FA Cup quarter final. Yeah, yeah. So that's a big personal milestone for him, because a lot of people would have probably thought his Everton career was over. He had this few impressive cameos around the turn of the calendar year, but, you know, for him to complete the 90 minutes, he's not going to have a long term future at Everton beyond the season, I wouldn't imagine. But, you know, a lot of people would have thought, oh, Andre Gomez and Sean Dyche, they're a bit of an odd couple, but no.
He's very force of his, strength of his performance as a substitute, hasn't it, really? And you saw that on Newcastle. Obviously, there's an issue with Onana as well within this, so he's in there by sort of default, I suppose. But to be fair, after the Newcastle game, we did know about Onana's injury issue, or whatever, which is a story in itself, isn't it, really? And Garner Gueye, obviously, his, you know, other more important priorities. You know, you were talking then that Gomez is worth starting in this competition with Garner Gueye.
A few people were thinking maybe for Decore even, in that more advanced role.
Whichever. And I thought he did okay. He's just a smooth player on the ball, and I thought he did okay on Saturday, and it was well worth the 90 minutes from him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, just finally, I see Sean Dyche actually said afterwards it was his intention to go long and strong against Burnley. Do you think of those particular remarks? It's not like he normally deploys a tiki-taka, is it?
No, but I think it was the wrong day to go long and strong, because as a spectacle, I think the win probably...
Yeah.
You don't really get a nice hand, actually, strangely enough. But it was quite obvious that, certain times the wind made it was a factor for both teams. And the number of times inside the bag, my ball hustle, they just went out for a goal kick or went to their goalkeeper. It was probably the wrong day to go longest on, wasn't it, really?
Yeah,
swirling wind is not the best as to play football.
No, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Gav, to sort of crunch those numbers and go through that latest verdicts. I'm sure as we digest that, as the week goes on, there'll be plenty more to discuss. But yeah, I've been your host, Chris Beasley. I've been joined by Gavin Buckland. This has been the Royal Blue Podcast.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.